the incredible shrinking tarp.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Here's something you don't hear every day. A government program is going to be cheaper than expected. The White House says the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, bailout program for the financial industry, is going to cost $200 billion less than they originally thought. Here to explain this is Ashley Milne-Tite in New York. She joins us live. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
Cheaper than they thought. How did this happen?
Well, basically, banks have quite a bit to do with it. They've been repaying government funds a lot faster than anyone expected. So far, the Treasury Department has lent $370 billion in bailout money to companies that got in trouble during the crisis. And reports say it now expects to get back most of that, everything except about $42 billion. And, you know, big financial institutions like JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, they've all repaid their bailout funds. Bank of America just said it's planning to give back its chunk maybe as soon as this week. So that just leaves Citibank waiting in the wings.
Wow, this seems like a pretty unexpected turnaround for TARP.
Well, it's a change certainly from what some in the administration had been predicting just this summer. Back then, they thought that the bailout program could lose about $341 billion. And I spoke a bit earlier to Dartmouth business professor Matthew Slaughter, because he says, as for whether this is really a turnaround for the banks themselves, you've got to remember part of the reason they've been able to pay back this money is because they've been receiving a lot of other kinds of government support. For instance, they've enjoyed really low borrowing costs.
And the other fact to keep in mind for why many of these banks are proving to be more profitable now is there are fewer of them. So like in any other industry, when you have fewer competitors around, you tend to have more market power, and that allows you to be more profitable.
And there's talk of using some of the funds that have been repaid to pay for a jobs program. And we could hear more about that in a speech the president's making tomorrow.
Ashley Milne-Tite in New York. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Markets are mixed this morning. Tokyo's Nikkei Index added 1.4%. London's FTSE down, though, 0.5%, partly on news the UK might start taxing bankers' bonuses. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 0.2%. The LA Auto Show is taking place this week, and car makers are unveiling their latest creations. This year, plug-in hybrids are looming large. It's been a rough couple of years for that industry, though. Car makers have slashed jobs, budgets, factories, even advertisers. Ad agency BBDO has done ads for Chrysler for decades, but no more, as Elisa Roth reports.
The website for BBDO's Detroit office still has a link for people who want to work there. Good luck applying. The company says it'll close its Detroit office soon, and almost 500 people will lose their jobs.
They're trying to sort of start fresh, if you will.
It's not just Chrysler and BBDO. All the car companies are shopping around for new ad agencies. John Wolkonowicz follows the auto industry at the consultant firm IHS Global Insight.
People want to create a new situation. They want to try something new because clearly the old didn't work.
Even so, the market for would-be Don Drapers is tough because the auto advertising business follows the auto industry itself. Kip Cassino tracks auto ads for Burrell Associates.
This coming year, 2010, will be a better year than last year, but that's not saying much.
He says he doesn't know what'll happen to the BBDO employees who get laid off. But Chrysler's already moved on. On Friday, the company said an agency in Minneapolis is working on its new commercials. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
This year, a lot of us are watching our holiday budgets, lots of bargain hunting. A good moment, perhaps, to appreciate one of the best American bargains of all time, Alaska. The U.S. bought Alaska in 1867 from Russia for about $7 million. But was that bargain a bust? David Barker thinks so. He's a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So Alaska was purchased by William Seward, Secretary of State under Lincoln. From what I understand, it was about 2 cents an acre. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Well, it does. And I first got interested in it as an example to teach in class of, you know, the best real estate deal ever in history. the more I looked into it, the weaker it looked. And the way I looked at it was the U.S. taxpayers financed the purchase. And so the return to those taxpayers was any tax revenue that was received from Alaska minus the expenses of governing Alaska. And a lot of the other economic benefits like trade and other sorts of things could have been obtained without the purchase.
It's conventional wisdom that this was such a great deal. Alaska has so many natural resources and other things. Why ultimately has this been a loss for taxpayers?
Well, I think mostly the cost of governing it. Alaska is very expensive to govern, always has been. It's a remote place, and the weather conditions make things difficult. There have also been natural disasters like the earthquake of 1964 that ended up being very expensive for the federal government. Projects like the Alaska Railroad turned out to be much more difficult than anticipated and cost a lot more money.
What about some of the other purchases that we made or acquisitions that we made? How do those stack up?
Well, turns out, for example, that Hawaii was a positive net present value project.
Oh, really?
The acquisition cost of Hawaii was much lower. We just assumed some debt of Hawaii, and the tax revenue has been positive ever since.
David Barker is a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, Virgin Galactic unveils Spaceship 2 for public viewing in the Mojave Desert. The commercial spacecraft is slated to take passengers on a 2.5-hour ride into space, including about 5 minutes of zero gravity. Several hundred people have paid $200,000 to reserve their spot, which sounds expensive, but after a couple months of holiday eating, can you really put a price on 5 minutes of weightlessness? In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.